Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
On the next Emerging Podcast Scene, we look into the top staffs in all the NFL. Where does ESPN have the Cleveland Browns, and why are there two AFC North teams ahead of them? That and Urban Meyer has one chief concern about the easy cupcake schedule for the Ohio State Buckeyes to start the season. We'll talk about that, and an enemy of the show just got a big gig. Are we salty? Probably. It's the Emerging Podcast Scene brought to you by Extend Technologies.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
How good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
You're listening to the Emerging Podcast Scene, brought to you, of course, as always, by the beautiful and wonderful people at Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Kenny already on his way to Seattle. He's wasting little time getting out to the Pacific Northwest. I concluded the show by noting that it's actually been said that Cleveland has worse weather than Seattle, especially when it comes to rainfall. How'd you feel about that bit of information? Owen, Big Country is with us today.
It was a life-changing announcement that you made. I'd never heard that before in my life. No, I've been there. How many times have you been to Seattle?
I've been there one time.
Okay, I've been there two times, but they were like, both times were passing through that ended up staying for a day or two because of, you know, my plane got canceled or delayed or whatever. So both those times, the weather was amazing.
It was beautiful when I was there. No rain. In fact, no clouds. It was sunny the entire time. I think it was during the month of August, my buddy Dustin's wedding. I think we stayed out there for 5 days. Now, I had a free place to stay and I had a free flight. So that will make anything. Like, yeah. You could send me basically anywhere when I have no responsibility, had time off from work, and could do those things. That will never be a part of my life again. So maybe that factors into why I felt so good about it.
It didn't kill your pocketbook, right?
Not at all. Not at all. And everything when I was there was paid for. I was a freeloader. It was incredible. I miss those freeloading days.
How do I get that?
That's how you met. Well, that's the thing. I'd have to get rid of my wife, not care about my children.
Well, you're making a case right now.
Be able to keep the house and be able to sell it and keep the assets, which in the state of Ohio, I'm going to need really good lawyer to be able to do that. Yeah, probably not going to happen. So those days are over. Footloose and fancy free, I don't think that's going to be a part of my life. I'm excited for Ken. I hope he gets out and does something, because let's face it, what prep work does he have to do for the fourth or the third preseason game?
Well, he's got to find out who's playing in the game first.
Oh, who cares? Go out there. All you're supposed to do is tell us what you're seeing on the sidelines. You don't need prep work for that. He knows the game of football. He knows the players. That's the thing. He's done all the prep work. Like, and he has a six-hour flight, whatever it is, to be able to go out there and read up, you know, even more. Right. So just do that.
I think he's definitely got it. The one good thing, him and Gibbs are very close, very good friends, right? So... And Jason Gibbs, who runs the Cleveland Browns side of everything for the radio, he went to Seattle last year. I'm sure he has the old haunts down of where to go and all that. Should be his tour guide. Hopefully they get out, they get in, get their stuff set up into the stadium and have time to go do things. Because, yeah, they're getting there tonight. I mean, they have all day Friday.
Oh, my God.
All day Friday.
That would be a problem for me. I can't imagine not having drinks and a lot of them on an off day like that. And I've done this. I've traveled for work. I've traveled to cover events all over. I did so way more when I was not living in Cleveland.
Right.
Now I just kind of go to Mac cities and, you know, there's not a ton to take advantage of.
He doesn't have the same things as Seattle, Washington.
Let's see. What did I do in Northern Illinois? It's not a lot going on. Oh, no. You know what? I spent the night in Chicago and took off the next day.
Good time.
I'm going to Buffalo in a few weeks.
Really?
I have never really spent, other than work, covering events in Buffalo, I've never spent the night in Buffalo.
So my problem with any city, like Seattle has the fish market, right? And you know that's a thing you want to go see, the Space Needle, you want to see that. There's stadiums there. He's obviously going to be in the NFL stadium. You want to see that. But for a place like Buffalo, where here's what I know. They've got a football team.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm going to go to any of the food places that I've seen on any of the food TV shows that I've watched.
So what, am I just getting buffalo wings?
Really, you're getting wings, or there is a, and I'll never forget it, there's a guy named Matty Matheson. He's on the Bear now. He plays the big guy that's like the maintenance worker or whatever on there. He's one of my favorite TV chefs. I've watched him for years. He's been on Vice.
Wait, which guy is actually a TV chef?
Matty Matheson is the guy that plays.
Is he one of the Flacks or the main
Feck, I think.
Feck?
Yeah.
That Flacks. Guy's a big-time chef?
Yes.
I had no idea.
He's from Fort Erie, Canada, which is just on the, it's on Lake Erie. It's on across from Buffalo. So he did, on one of his shows, he went back and it was like his no reservations show, where he goes and sees the sites in different towns around the country. He went to Buffalo. He went and tailgated a Bills game, which was awesome. You see the guys that are like cooking. There's a guy that cooks food on the hood of his car, and that's like his thing. they, funny. Of course, do the wings at a couple of the different wing places, but it's called Beef on Wick, I believe. It's a sandwich.
Yes, yes, that is something
that I would be doing.
In Western New York. I have heard of it. I've never had it.
So if you go to Buffalo, I don't know what else you're going to do there. I don't know how many days you get there.
I'm going to go there, drive there, call the game, hope the game ends in 2.5 hours. They never do. They end in 4 hours, as you know. And then I have a hotel night by myself.
All right, so you've got some time to do whatever.
I got some bars.
Whatever's happening at the Ramada or whatever.
And then she'll expect me to leave at what time in the morning?
6:30 a.m.
How do I get out of that?
Jeez, you said they called a meeting. ESPN called a meeting. I've got to stay. The MAC commissioner.
This is going to suck. So here's the crappy thing about that is I've had some nights like this where I go out. This is the rare night that I get away. We're not traveling right now. I got the, 2-year-old and the 6-month-old. I can go out and have fun after the game. Can go to a hotel bar. I can go to wherever people tell me to go to, where the locals go. And then, of course, the issue is I can make of that night whatever I want it to be. I have veteran experience.
I'm sure you could call in some things.
But the issue is the later I go, the less sleep I'm going to get.
Right.
So the sleep is non-negotiable.
And that's going to make the travel back.
That's
going to
be miserable. I got a, 3-hour drive. So what I should do is just go home. Go to the hotel and sleep immediately.
Yes.
But then it wastes my night out. So we'll think about it. I just saw this. Ben Solak.
Okay.
Of ESPN. He ranks all 32 coaching staffs. Staves or staffs? he ranked their staves. All right. The Browns are 13th. I think that's pretty good.
That sounds pretty good, yeah.
He says, Solak says, if I had to guess which fan base might be most upset with me because of these rankings, I'm going with Cleveland. Stefanski is a 2-time coach of the year. Ken Dorsey's offenses in Buffalo were extremely productive, and Schwartz's 2023 defense speaks for itself. He says, quote, I'm not sold on the offensive changes Stefanski has deployed over the past couple seasons, though. He got his first Coach of the Year award, resuscitating Baker Mayfield's career season with big rollouts, play action passes. Since then, Browns have increasingly become a spread shotgun team. Is that true, by the way? They've been increasingly...
With Nick Chubb?
Yeah.
I don't know that that's true.
He says, it just doesn't work out as well. It makes life harder on Nick Chubb, who's been the engine of the offense for years. With longtime offensive line coach Bill Callahan departing for Tennessee, I'm doubly worried about a decline in the running game. This isn't even a mention of drop-off in pass protection, something particularly concerning with Deshaun Watson at QB, as pressure has been hugely destructive to his game during his time in Cleveland. Boy, we went over that, Owen, about the sacks in the 5 starts, because this indie game doesn't count.
Right.
The 5 starts, he had like as many sacks as Joe Flacco did in his, did it end up being 6 starts?
6 starts.
No, it was double the amount. It was like double the, it was way more. I had the number somewhere. But it just goes to show that when he plays, he gets sacked. And that goes back to in Houston. Now, we assumed it was a bad offensive line in Houston, and that's why he got sacked so much.
But, well, how much of that, though, is, and you even saw it when he came in the first season that he was in Cleveland. You know, they're already deep into the year by the time he actually gets under center. The offensive line, he does these things. The one thing that I still gives me hope that he's going to be a quarterback that is not only useful, but actually could be one of the top of the NFL guys is his ability to extend plays.
Yeah.
But with that comes offensive linemen, especially offensive linemen that have not played a ton of games with him. They don't know where he is.
And so this is what is going to be really interesting with this offense this year. You have Stefanski, when I say this, it's gonna come off a certain way. I think he's, in general, he's aggressive on fourth downs, right? But he's conservative in how he uses the running game, and that doesn't mean I'm going to run the ball on first down. They don't. Analytics have kind of driven that formula. When I say conservative, what I mean is he's pretty good at not putting the Browns quarterbacks in second and 17 or putting them in position to where, you know, you have an unnecessary drop back result in a holding call. Like that, everybody wants to throw the ball on first down now, but what happens when you get a holding call? Right. It kills a drive. It's a drive killer. I think he's been very good, and that's when I say conservative. I really do mean in a good way. He's not reckless with setting up his quarterbacks for failure. But when I read that, I want to go over what Solak says here, and you tell me what you think this is going to look like. He says, Ken Dorsey is meant to help the offense in the spread, gun, RPO world, as that's what he ran for Josh Allen in Buffalo. But he wasn't so much a schematic magician as he was a, quote, let Josh cook point guard. I can't rate this offense staff above those that have shown they can do more than buttress quarterbacks twos and threes for a few games. Okay, the let Watson cook thing. When they said goodbye to Alex Van Pelt, my first inclination was to say or ask the question, is this just going to be a let Deshaun cook offense? It's been impossible to ascertain any of that from what we've seen in the preseason. You just can't. I don't know what it's going to look like. You could tell me they're running more RPOs, I guess. From the people I've talked to and from the interviews we've done with Zach Jackson, Mary Kay, everybody that's been there, there's not a lot. There's just not a lot to gather from what we've seen. Are you expecting, Owen, once the season gets underway, is it going to look like Deshaun Watson in Houston?
Well, I think Deshaun Watson's expecting that because that's the comments that he's made about Ken Dorsey and his offense is that he goes, he has consistently brought up what Josh Allen did in Buffalo and what Cam Newton did in Carolina. But as you just said, that Josh Allen that he thinks he's getting is not the Josh Allen that was under Ken Dorsey, right? That was the Josh Allen after Ken Dorsey left. I think Deshaun expects that he's going to be able to freelance, I guess. Would be.
Okay. Freelancing is what made him at times a top five quarterback right. in the NFL.
That's what makes him a weapon and not just a quarterback.
That's right? That's the difference. It's like when you think about in basketball going and getting the...
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
6'8", 6'9", 6'10", guys, it's because they can always get their shot off.
Right.
Against great defenses, Luka is always going to get his shot off. Deshaun Watson's always going to get his shot off. Doesn't matter if the other team picks the play like it's Tecmo Bowl. The point is that Deshaun, and you saw that in the Baltimore second half, there were a couple plays where he was dead to rights.
Right.
And the offense wasn't bailing him out. He bailed the offense out. Here's the other side of that, though, and this is why it is, I think, tougher than people realize. It's easy to say, just put the ball in his hands, let him make plays. One of the things that I thought they did such a great job of over the last however many years, and you've seen it with how many quarterbacks, in Cleveland. Stefanski has set those guys up for success, exception of DTR in that first game where he wasn't ready. He set them up for success, meaning they use the run game, and that's been a cheat code. Getting 5.5 yards a carry is not normal. We had it. That's right. A cheat code that we had that most teams don't have. Yes, even Derrick Henry has not had that how many times in his career? I mean, he has been he can feast or famine it. He's not a 5.5 yards per carry guy. I mean, that's what separates Nick Chubb, I think, from everybody else. And in conjunction with the offensive line, in conjunction with an elite offensive line coach in Bill Callahan. So he's been able to scheme that up. What has he also been able to scheme? What did he do with Baker Mayfield? The turning the back to the defense, incredible play action, rollouts, boom, you've got three levels of guys that are open. And that's because of the running game. If you are telling me it's a let Deshaun Watson cook offense, a lot of that easy stuff's going to be stripped away, is it not? Do you think he can maintain a lot of that in this offense? Meaning, gone are the, oh, we can just give it to Nick Chubb, get the 5.5 yards, set them up, second and short, we're going to be in great shape. Gone are the, hey, easy play action for Baker Mayfield, we're going to make the read real easy. Look, open, he's right there. Or, hey, second level, you might have a second here to get it in there if you buy enough time, he's going to be open. If you want to get crazy, we can launch one down the field in whatever order you think those reads were. Is that going to be the case this year?
Well, it hasn't been the case with Deshaun Watson to this point, right? I don't know that we can answer that right now because we haven't seen him play. We haven't seen him be on the field. The only time that he's went against other competition was 2 days last week in the joint practice. And what were the reports on the offense in those 2 days in the joint practice? It was that the Vikings embarrassed, I believe, was the word that was used by the guy that we had in that came in studio with us on Friday. The Vikings defense embarrassed Deshaun Watson and Jameis Winston to that
point. Now we heard Diana Rossini say that the Browns looked terrible that day. I know that was a big debate on how what the takeaways were going to be.
I hope that was not, you know, we'll put this down to little kids football, right? I've got a scrimmage on Saturday. I know what I've watched the sixth grade boys that are on my team. I did not coach that team, but my older son, who's now in seventh grade, played with those boys last year. I know what they do really good. On Saturday, we are not doing those things. We're not going to focus on the things that we do well.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because it's my only opportunity before we play a real game to find out if we can do the things that I hope we can do, but see if we can actually execute those things. So for that, when I look at what the reports are back on his time against live competition that weren't Cleveland Browns, I'm hoping that was the case, that we were not seeing what they would use as their bread and butter offense. I don't know, though, Anthony, if we can go away from this play action offense that we used so well.
Which was so dynamic.
Right.
It's what separated them, I think.
Because to me, the things that goes into Deshaun, the plays have broken down and Deshaun is making something out of nothing. And if that's what we're leaning on, that's probably not going to be a great year.
This is why I wonder if it's going to be an inconsistent offense. One that the highs are going to be really high because he is going to be out there making guys look stupid. He has not lost, I don't think, an ounce of that athleticism. But will they be able to strategically build on drives in this offense? That remains to be seen. Are you ready? Number 10. We're gonna go down to the top 10.
Okay.
Minnesota Vikings, who I think might be one of the worst teams in football this year. Kevin O'Connell, Wes Phillips. Is that a Wade Phillips disciple? I don't know.
Sure. We'll
and B. Flo, Brian Flores. Number 9, the Miami Dolphins. Now, Ken will not be happy about that whatsoever. Number 8 is Green Bay. Number 7, ladies and gentlemen, out of the AFC North, representing the Mahangahila and the Ohio River and the, what's the other one? The Tuscararas. No, what's the third river? We got yelled at for it yesterday. Oh. Number 7 is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
Does that surprise you? Because people in Pittsburgh seem to hate their coaching staff.
Yeah. Is Matt Canada still there?
No, I do not believe he is.
Okay.
Nor is Todd Haley. Nor is Dick LeBeau. Number 6, the Houston Texans.
All right.
What a turnaround from a year ago at this time. It is incredible. They were treated as a laughing stock. And now we're talking about the 6th best coaching staff. Number 5, another team hailing from the prestigious AFC North, in which ESPN and Dan Graziano has ranked the best division in football, the Baltimore Ravens, with John Harbaugh, Todd Monken as their OC, and Zach Orr as their DC. Their defense, I am really intrigued because they have lost some talent on that defense this year.
I watched a group of gentlemen on TikTok the other day debate the AFC North and where position rankings and all that, and it was a debate between the linebacking core of the Steelers and the Ravens, and they were talking about how the Ravens had the best linebacking core, and Kyle Vannoy's name got brought up. I don't know how you still look at that guy who feel like is 45 years old and go, oh, they're going to lead us. I think the Ravens defense could be suspect, but when you have a two-time MVP with Lamar Jackson, I think you can get away with stuff.
They lose their defensive coordinator, you know, to Seattle.
Right.
So this is a lot of loss. It's a talent drain happening. But the other side of me is I'm a Browns fan. Have the Ravens defense ever been bad? It feels like they're going to be good. Same thing for the Steelers.
Right.
Doesn't matter who the players are. Doesn't matter who the coaches are. Number four, San Francisco 49ers. With no offensive coordinator listed. It's just Kyle Shanahan. Number three, the Rams. We go to number two, Detroit. The Detroit Lions and your number one staff in the NFL, your Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, that sounds right. They should be number one.
Listen to you. We are on the Emerging Podcast Scene, brought to you as always by Extend Technologies. I did see, do we have time for this? Are we at the 20-minute mark?
We are. We just rolled over 20 minutes.
All right. Quickly, Urban Meyer.
Yep.
On the Triple Option podcast, we will share with you his thoughts on Ohio State and their focus with an easy schedule this season.
Their schedule is kind of a joke early on. I mean, they're going to be 50-point favorites in the first three games. They have a bye week, and then they play Michigan State, which is a shell of himself right now. So the starters will probably play 30 to 40 plays in the first month of the season. That means statistically, they're not going to have many catches. The running backs are going to not have many carries because you're not going to play those guys in the second half of those games.
By the way, I absolutely love, like, just you could tell his wheels were spinning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, would we have talked about how guys aren't going to get touches in the first half? No, we would have said guys are going to put up amazing numbers, right? Because he's looking at it pragmatically from a coach's perspective. College football never change. Like, we have a 12-team playoff. You've never been afforded more of an ability to lose games than you are now. We're talking about whether a team with three losses could get into a team not named Notre Dame, could lose three games and still get into this expanded playoffs. And he's telling you Ohio State's a 50-point favorite in your first three games. And then they're playing Michigan State, a conference game in which they are a total shell of themselves. Are we ever going to get to the point where we get normalized scheduling in college football, especially when you've got one less conference now? And will we have no ACC in a few years? Like, you should be able to normalize the schedules.
Yeah, I don't get how you're still playing directional schools at all, because the win doesn't help you. The win doesn't help you at all, and the loss only hurts you. I would much rather, I'd much rather take a loss to Tennessee or, hell, even Georgia Tech over a school like, Akron. They're playing Akron this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, obviously, they're not going to.
They are kicking off the season on CBS. 3:30 against Akron coming up next Saturday.
I can't believe it. Can't believe it's already here.
I'm not doing that game, am I?
You haven't got the memo yet?
No.
You've got to go from Buffalo. You've got to do the game in Columbus and then head up to Buffalo.
This short turnaround.
Get that one done as well. No, if you're going to a regular playoff, you might as well have a normalized schedule.
Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall all at home, and then they kick off their Big Ten slate at Michigan State. Then they have Iowa. Kirk Ferentz suspended for one game. I doubt it'll be that game. Did you see that? Recruiting violations?
Yeah.
Were they recruiting an offensive coordinator that doesn't have the last name Ferentz? And then you have Oregon. The big showdown. I cannot wait for that. That is going to be in prime time. I thought it was going to be on primetime. on Saturday, October 12th. I think Joel Klatt leaked it, that it was going to be on primetime, and I don't even think on Fox. I think somebody else has it for that game.
Well, that's probably why he leaked it.
Yeah. Yeah, Joel Klatt. Can we give a shout-out to foe of the show? I don't think he's a friend of the show. Congratulations to Danny Parkins, who's been on this very show. If you haven't seen it by now or followed Danny Parkins' career very closely, worked at our sister station in Chicago. We feuded over the years, dating back to our Syracuse days. He is now a full-time national sports talk personality on FS1. Remember, they had the big shakeup with Skip Bayless leaving. They are mixing it up in a big way. Danny Parkins is going to be on in the morning, so he's going to be on 8 a.m. to 10. Are we ever going to have Danny Parkins on to preview his show?
He'll never be on the show again.
Breakfast Ball with Greg Carton and Mark Schlereth, it looks like. I just see
Stink's
a picture.
On there, too.
It looks like Stink.
That we lost another guest.
Might have lost another guest. What a lineup. You've got Breakfast Ball, the facility. First Things First with Nick Wright.
They didn't change that one?
Nope. And then they've got Speak with Joy Taylor.
They did change that one. So three of the four.
Keyshawn. And who is in that? Is that Paul Pierce? I believe that's Paul Pierce. They don't have any of the names, so I'm just flying blind here. And they've got some show called The Herd with Colin Cowherd and Jason McIntyre. Jason McIntyre
used to be
a friend of the show. I don't think he likes me very much.
I do have to ask you, Anthony.
Yes.
Danny Parkins going to TV now.
Yes.
You've mentioned your rivalry dating back to the Newhouse School.
Yep.
How's it make you feel to see his career going up,
yep,
and your career setting in this little lonely room?
I think Danny Parkins won the battle. He ain't gonna win the war.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.